Good morning. Is it still morning?
Yeah.
Good morning, folks. Sorry about my blue jeans. I forgot to pack my nice pants for the flight. So, but you can't see them anyway. So,
yeah.
I pray always, I'm going to bring a couple of messages to you. Message is to you about the armor of God. About the armor of God that's found in Ephesians 6. And I believe that the Lord laid this upon my heart for a special reason. That is, for one, I believe that all of us need to understand what the armor of God is. And for two, this message is to Mike as much or more as it is to you. Because in these days, Mike needs to put on the armor of God. Really. Really bad. I'm thankful for being here, honored to be here. The past three speakers have had excellent studies, and it was an honor to be amongst them and with their studies and listen to their studies about God's Word. It's awesome to be here. These are my wife and I. These are our vacations. We go to conferences as our vacations. We look forward to them. We love them. We love all of you in the Lord. So let's just have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that this study of your armor in Ephesians 6 might be to your honor and glory, for we know that, in fact, we are adopted sons of God according to your word. Whether we be women or men, we are still adopted sons of God, and this is a tremendous calling, a tremendous place that you've had for us, and this is made factual through your Son and through the living Word of God, which in fact you have protected for hundreds and hundreds of years for us to open and for us to read and learn about you, the living God. And we thank you for all of the faithful men and women that serve you. We need each other, and we need your love, and we have it, and we have your strength. And we pray for all of us, whether we're young, whether we're babes, whether we're teenagers, whether we're young people, older people, we pray that we might lean onto you and trust you in all things. And we pray for your guidance and your will to be made known through these studies. In the name of Christ our Lord and Head, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's turn to Ephesians 6 and read. And what I'm going to do, too, is I love the Koine Greek. Koine Greek is the actual language of the New Testament. Koine Greek actually is somewhat lost in our society. It is not modern Greek, it's biblical Greek. And if you ever want to understand the New Testament, it's all in all of its fullness, you should study the Koine Greek, as if you have enough to do already. But I'm telling you that more of the fullness of God will come out in studying the Koine. So I'm going to go into a few Koine terms today, and it's important for me to do that. So let's read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness upon the heavens. Now, we could go into verse 12 heavily, but we're going to bypass that and concentrate on the armor. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And I'm going to review all of these ideas, because we're to withstand and to stand in the evil day. And we are in the evil day.
Amen.
There's at least 4 days of the Lord, and we are in the evil day, the day of man, where man is reigning. The Lord is allowing, in his grace, for man to reign. eventually there is going to be the day of Christ and then the day of God. And we should understand these days and what goes along with them. But we are in the evil day. And we are supposed to redeem the times or buy out the time in this evil day. And, you know, I could go into explaining where the world is headed. It's headed to a one world. It's headed to a one world government. It's headed to a world that the evil one is going to take control over. That's where it's headed. However steps are made to get there, it's heading there. Where one will raise up and claim to be God on earth. And it will be Satan incarnate. That is where we're headed. On the planet. Will this planet blow up? No. Because the Lord has to return here at least for 1,000 years and set up his millennial kingdom. So there's a lot of facts that eventually the Lord will burn up the earth and recreate it. But there's a lot of facts that the scriptures can give you that will oppose goofy ideas in the world. Well, let's go on. In verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace. There is not only one gospel, there are many good messages. When you hear gospel truth, that's a misnomer. Gospel means good message, and there are many good messages, and there are precise good messages for precise peoples at precise times. So when you run into people that say, I am a gospel believing Christian, which one do they believe? Oh, I believe the gospel. Oh, really? Which one is that? So I don't like the word gospel personally. Good message, I like. Because there's many good messages. That's my personal opinion. Because people get messed up over this word in the Christian world. The gospel. All right, that's just a little sidebar. All right, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the flaming javelins of the wicked one. I'm going to say this to you, that the Koine Greek I can translate it. I've said this before. Flaming javelins rather than fiery darts. The temptations of the evil one are not little pins. They are fiery javelins. They can be very intense and very destructive. They're cunning and they have strategies to them. And you could say, well, you know, what are you putting forth? I am not putting forth anything. The Holy Spirit is putting forth. Finally, brethren, you put this on. You know, it doesn't matter what Mike says. It matters what your Lord says. You have been translated from death into life. That's the fact. You were walking dead, and when you became a believer, you are an adopted son of life. You are different than you ever were before you knew the Lord. And you are children of light. And that is a fact. Otherwise, these scriptures are meaningless. So this is a real thing. It's a real thing. It's not a religious idea. And that is why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says, well, now that you're a child of light, by the way, you have an enemy. You have an unseen enemy. You actually have three enemies. You have your old man, you have the world, and then you have the spiritual world. I am not saying this. The Lord is. All right? These are, your enemies that are battling against the truth that the Lord has given unto you. And this is what he says. And the reason I'm giving this message is it's so very important, especially as we move on in this planet and what is happening here. All right? So, and then we move on, and it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is extremely important. In the Spirit and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is a very intense, precise, important statement in verse 18.
Amen.
All right? Prayer is extremely important. Day by day, for the saints, for each other, that we stand. That we stand for what? We stand for the truth that we've been given. All right? I hope I can get through all of this. I want you to think about this. As we move through this study, I want you to remember this. This armor is unique. It's unique to our calling. It's unique to the revealed sacred secret. Why is that? Because in verse 10, we're going to go back here, and I'm going to try to explain what this armor is. What is it? What is this armor? What does this mean? Breastplate of righteousness. What does this mean? Above all, taking the shield of faith. Loins girded about with truth, and I'm gonna give you a little action, because the Greek brings out action with these words, and this is for women as well as men. You could say, well, I'm a woman and I don't care too much about military and bullets and all that. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You are as much a son of God as any man in this room,
Amen.
And this is to you too. This armor is for you too. And this is serious business, folks. Serious business. Alright? So, the armor is unique to the mystery. Do we have any spiritual enemies? Yes, we do. It's serious business. And the overall thrust that is brought out, especially in the Greek, is this. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Did you ever prepare for anything? Did you ever prepare to go in for a job interview? Did you ever prepare to have a baby? Did you ever prepare to give a message, a talk? Did you ever prepare to give a funeral? Did you ever prepare for anything serious? This is the most serious thing in your life that you have to prepare for. Be prepared. That's what this is all about. And that is the thrust of this armor. And that's after you know. See, we've been given knowledge that was hidden God from humankind until it was revealed after Acts 28. That's serious business. Serious truth. You have an enemy because of this serious business. And nothing could have taken him back more than to realize that the Almighty is going to place human beings at his right hand. Satan never could have imagined that. He knew about the heavenly Jerusalem. He knew about the restoration of Israel. But this mystery was hidden God until revealed through the Apostle Paul after Acts 28. A total shock to the evil one. This isn't fantasy land, folks. Either that or this scripture is meaningless. All right? So, do we have an enemy? Yes. Our enemy is found not only in ourselves, the old man. We're supposed to mortify the old man, put on the new man. The only way you can do that is feed on the Word of God. It is not a joke. Believe me. This guy suffers because I I don't do what is right. Pardon me, at times. So, so we have an enemy, and our spiritual enemy is seen in Genesis 1, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, we don't have to go there, Matthew 4, Ephesians 2, and Ephesians 6. This is the one called Lucifer. He was God's original ambassador to heavenly beings. No joke. Sorry. He was the Lord's worship director. He was the Lord's praise director until iniquity was found in him. He is the most created and powerful being ever created. And he is our enemy. When the universe was created and he fell, he overthrew it. The Lord then reworked the planet and placed mankind here. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it talks about his very being to bring him to the point of saying, I will be like the Most High God. Who is this one? He is your enemy. He is your enemy. Can you fight him in yourselves? No way, no how. In Matthew 4, he offered up the kingdoms of the world to the creator of the world. The creator of the world did not deny that he had this power. Satan is called the prince and power of the air that now works in the sons of disobedience. And disobedience in the world that you live in.
Amen.
Ephesians 2. And in Ephesians 6, it talks about a spiritual war that we have with him because we know the sacred, revealed secret of God. So we need to put on this armor.
Amen.
Men, women, young people, teenagers, children alike. And it's unique to the mystery. What is it? Okay? What is this armor? So I'm, how much time do I have left of the half hour? Great, okay. I have a zero? I have a, thank you, 10?
You're rated at 10.
Oh, I have a, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this how I feel that the Holy Spirit wrote this, these words. Fact. Really? Do you believe this is the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
We can say, yeah, well, maybe. We can say, this is a nice plan. Written by some religious men. No, this is the actual spoken Word of God through the Holy Spirit, spiritually discerned with power. That's what it is.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it is. And the Lord has kept us, believe me, this is a gift. Give so much. This the Lord has kept this word intact for you in 2012. Men and women have died for it, given their lives for it, big time, choked, hung, burned for it, that you can have it. And you can have this word. You can go out and can have 300, 400, 500 of them in your home. And a buck a piece. Incredible. We live in a time that's going to shut down eventually. We live in a time that we have blessings galore. Blessings galore in the Lord. We do. But it's going to shut down. It's going to come shutting down eventually. What is this armor? All right, so let's go into it. Paul says, finally, okay? I'm going to get into a little bit of Koine here. Finally is the Koine term, tu loipu. Say that. Tu loipu. Tu loipu. I mean, it is the actual Koine. I mean, if you were Koine Greek aficionados, you'd say, oh, yeah, tu loipu. And what that means is, furthermore, after understanding the preceding facts, did you ever study Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Ever study it? Incredible, unspeakable blessings. Unspeakable, they are.
Amen.
That the Father has given you in wisdom and prudence the knowledge of the mystery of His will. Think about it. God Almighty has opened up your minds and hearts to the mystery of His very will. Come on. Can that be real? What are you saying? That's ridiculous. Get them to the psych ward. No, it's true. It's real, real, real. That little bitty dust ball human beings like us can have knowledge of the mystery of Almighty God. And we do. Fact. So, we have an enemy to that. All right? So, what Paul says is, finally, furthermore, after understanding what your calling is, after understanding what all spiritual blessings are, after understanding the great mystery, as Barney said, of Christ and the church in marriage, after understanding all those things, finally, make sure you do this. That's what's happening here. At the end of Ephesians, he said, finally, because you know all of those things, you have to do this. You better do this. Finally, therefore, having all this knowledge, do this. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. There is a military, or let's say a governmental order to angelic beings. They have different powers, different duties, just as unfallen ones have. Against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right, I'm going to review a few Greek terms here. Put on. Greek form, when I say Greek form, the Koine Greek doesn't have words, it has forms. So when you say, I know a Koine Greek word, it's a misnomer. If you want to be precise, Greek has forms, not words. Somebody could say, well, you're nitpicking. Well, if you want to be exact in the Word of God, Greek has forms. The Greek form for put on is endousasta. Say that. Endousasta. Go ahead. It means to clothe yourself with something. To take up, and I'll run through this. To take up is the Greek form analabeta. And it means take up something specifically for use. So when you put on this armor, you're clothing yourself with something. You're getting ready to stand. I'm not kidding you. This is what the Word of God says. You're getting ready to stand. All right? Here I am in the battle position. I'm getting ready to stand. I'm putting on something mentally. Remember what I said? You're preparing for something? This is no joke. You're preparing something. You go to work, you prepare. You prepare for a dental procedure. You prepare for things. This isn't your most important preparation. You're getting prepared as a son of God every day. No joke. Because this is what it takes to battle your enemy. And this, you know, you'd say, well, why is the Lord allowing this? Why is the Lord allowing this to happen? Why are we living here? Why doesn't he just take us? Why do we have this enemy? Well, he's working his plan out in us. That's why we are here. We are here as ambassadors for the truth. That's why we are here. That's why we keep on living. That's why he keeps us here. You are not your own anymore. You know, I say that to me. I say that to me. I am not... I am not my own anymore.
Amen.
And if you don't totally commit to that, you're going to have trouble. I have trouble. But see, we are not our own anymore. And you can choose to fully put that on or not. That's up to you. But the Lord says, I want you to fully put it on because you're mine. Okay? So you're preparing yourself. This is what he wants you to do because you have these blessings that are beyond your imagination. And this is all very real. It's not something that happens to you after you're in the box. You know, okay? Oh, you know what I'm saying? You don't live your life here religiously, go into the box and then voila, you know, the plan of God starts happening then. No, it's happening now. It's happening now while you walk. Right? Okay. So, stand. Stand is, I won't even mention the Greek form, but what it actually means is it means to stand firm. All right? This is what God is telling you, not me. Stand firm, offering resistance. All right? You go out in your head. You have. I'm going to get to the pieces of armor and what they mean. Because the attacks are going to come. Attacks are going to come at you in various manners. Subtle manners, fleshly manners, devastating manners. They're going to make you question the Lord. They're going to make you think you're great in the flesh and you can handle sin. All different types of temptations are going to come at you. They are. One form, another. You're all individuals. I don't know what your temptations are. I don't know how they come at you. But don't be fooled. Amen. It's serious business. And questioning the Lord, that'll be... You start questioning the Lord, questioning your calling, questioning His love, questioning His power. You start doing these things, and you better step back.
Amen.
Okay? Happens to me. I don't know about you. Okay. We're moving on to gird about with truth. Okay, and how much time do I have? 15 minutes? Okay. I've got a number of notes here. Gird about with truth, okay? I'm going to try to explain what that means to you. What is this armor? You know, you can talk about the armor, but what is it really? Why is it? Why is it really? Having your loins girt about with the truth. Here is what it is. This is what the scriptures actually mean. Loins. Battle position. Sorry. Loins, girt about. Gird, tighten down. That's what's in the Greek. Gird it up. Tighten down. You're ready. Why is that? The truth. You have the truth. Christ is the truth, and then you have your calling. This is in context with the calling. The truth. The truth is going to get attacked. What are your loins? What are your loins? Any good athlete should know about loins. Loins is your strength, your core. Core strength. I was thinking about this. What's with loins? Core strength. This is your core strength. fighters, professional athletes, kickboxers, core strength built up. Your truth, the truth, is your core. It's true. The truth you've been given is your core. Your core can be attacked. Can't it?
Amen.
Your calling can be attacked. Can't it?
Amen.
Your calling can be attacked subtly or abusively by those who don't know the truth. They're babes in the Word. They can attack the truth. Or, however that is, subtle ways, abusive ways, corrupt ways, ways that fly at you, subtle ways. He's very cunning. So your core strength should be girded about with truth. It should be protected. And that's the meaning of that. It should be tightened down. Hold on a second. I lost my place. All right. The Greek forms in there, I won't go into them, but gird about means to tighten a belt or cloth around your core with the idea of this. Prepare yourself. This is what the Word of God says. Prepare yourself. All right? Another Greek form talks about tightening this belt around yourself as you're ready for spiritual activity. You're ready to battle on a spiritual level. You could say, well, this sounds rather confusing. I have to get up tomorrow. I have to go to work. I have to feed the kid. I gotta, do this, that, this and that. But the Lord knows about that. The Lord knows about all of the fleshly things you have to do. But the point of it is that your true life, if you're a son of God, is not here.
Amen.
You're moving through.
Amen.
You're moving through this period of time. And how much time do I have left? Yeah. Okay, I'll get to one more piece of armor. This is a fact, okay? Believe it or not, I was 21 once. What are you laughing about? Believe it or not, I was 17, 21, 31, 41. And now I'm 57. And what I realize more is, hey Lord, I'm not going to be on this planet a heck of a long time, more, comparatively. You know, when I was 17, I didn't even think that way. When I was 21, I didn't even think that way. When I was 31, I didn't think that way. Then I started getting around 50, and it's like, oh, man. In reality, I think we try to avoid the inevitable in our brains.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you're going to end up in the dirt. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Sorry. Not very nice. Not very pretty. But that's a matter of fact. So you're going to have to understand the scope of life in your head as you go. You know, what's really real? What's real, really true? When you're gone like this, what's your life compared with history? What is it? You know, are you Madame Curie? No. Probably not. So what, even if you're not? You're a son of God. So what is reality? You know, so as you're moving through your life, that's your reality. No matter how many things you deal with, you're chosen by the Most High. And you are ambassadors for His truth. All right, let's move on to one more piece of armor, and then I can stop for now. All right? All right, so moving on from there, we have the loins girded about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. All right, this is very good. This is a very good one, and do I have like 10 minutes maybe? I can always start up from here anyway, all right? the breastplate of righteousness, why should we have this? Well, when attacks come like this, oh, you chump, I remember you. I remember you when you were younger and all the things you did, and now you think you're righteous, the Son of God? What? Oh, your heart sinks. You're beaten down. Oh, depressed. Oh, what do you think? Your righteousness? I remember you. You know, I know what you're like. You're no better than anybody else. It's not your righteousness. That's the point.
Amen.
Gird about with the truth. Tighten up. Breastplate of righteousness. Guard your heart. Because people and the world and the evil one can attack this here. Can attack this. The eyes of your heart is what sees your calling. We had somebody talking about eyes in Ephesians 1:17 and 18, that the eyes of your heart might know what the hope of his calling is. Your heart is big to the Lord. And what's going to happen is in the world, the only thing the evil one has left to do is to destroy you, to nullify your faith, or to make you worship him. What else has he got to do? What is it? But in fact, you're already taken care of because your life is hidden with Christ and God. It's just a beautiful picture. But this breastplate of righteousness guards your heart. And it's not your righteousness. All right? And I'm going to get at this. If people start moving in here, I'm just going to stop and resume with righteousness. What is your righteousness? Think you're righteous? Think you're pretty cool? Think you're pretty dashing? Pretty beautiful? Pretty got it? You got everything going pretty well? You're pretty above the crowd? Well, let's look at righteousness. Whose righteousness is this? Alright, so let's look at Romans 10, okay? And like I said, we're going to be moving through things if people start coming in with food and stuff like that. I'll tell them to get out. Okay, Romans 10. I hope all of you are having a good time. I love you all, you know, but this is beautiful material. Romans 10, 1 through 10. And I have down here, awesome. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, this is during the Acts period, but the point of it is righteousness. I'm going to talk about righteousness, okay? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, oh, and going about to establish their own righteousness, oh, what's this? What's this about? God has a righteousness?
Yep.
And man has a righteousness? Oh, really? Interesting. Israel tried to do it. Having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, learning about righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Oh, to everyone that believes. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. We have a righteousness of the law. What's that about? That the man which does those things shall live by them. Oh, righteousness of the law. Well, we're going to find out that we have accusers. We have accusers, by the way. And one of those accusers is the law of God. Did you know that? And another accuser is, yes, Satan himself. He accuses you. He's the accuser. He has the power of death. What does that mean? Well, I believe this. One thing that means is that Satan accuses you, and he's right. Yes. Satan accuses you, you're worthy of death, and he's right. So he has the power to accuse you to death, and he's correct. Yes. Except for somebody taking our place. Isn't that true?
Amen.
The law had its own righteousness, but you better do every nit and tittle of it. But you can't. Incredible. You can't. So then it goes on to say, in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith, oh, speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith, the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, in the blood of Christ, I'll add it, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. So this breastplate of righteousness is put on because it's Christ. It's Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ. So if attacks come at you in a manner of way, family, friends, workers, about your person, your righteousness is of the Lord. You have Christ's righteousness. Are you a sinner? Yeah. We all know that. You know, but you have the Lord's righteousness. Let's look at a couple more verses as far as that's concerned. And I wanted to mention to you, too, that there's a lot of legal terms in the Scriptures, and we're going to be looking into that. Did you know that the right hand of God has something to do, very possibly, with the court system? Yeah. It has to do with the accuser. And it has to do with the Lord taking your place. The accuser, the prosecutor, sat on the right hand of the judge, facing the judge. And then the defendant was there, too. And the accuser accuses the defendant from the right hand, but somebody moves in to your place. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome stuff. And we're going to get into that a little bit too. So I kind of lost my spot here, but I'll finish and then we can move on to stuff in our face and stuff like that. What of our righteousness? Let's turn to Isaiah 64. Are we almost, what time do I got? 5 minutes? Done? Okay. Isaiah 64. I know, I only like this because these subjects are awesome and beautiful. Isaiah 64. It may be a couple more minutes and I'll end and we'll begin this again. Let's see, where's Isaiah?
10:10.
Thank you. Isaiah 64, 4 through 8. Here we go. Our righteousness. Isaiah 64, 4 through 8. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have I seen, or God, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that wait for him. Awesome. Thou meetest him that rejoices and works righteousness, that those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, and we have sinned in those as continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, therein lies our righteousness.
Amen.
We have none. We are guilty before the Lord. We are guilty according to the accusing law. We are guilty according to the accuser himself. That's a fact. Oh, well, this talk seems kind of depressing. Point of it is that that's what you are as men and women. But the beauty of it is that God himself took your place.
Amen.
And therein lies the love of God.
Amen.
And you think about that, and it is shocking. It is shocking. Let's say if you look at the universe, and then you realize that God Himself came to this little speck to save you. That is love.
Amen.
And so that is seen in His righteousness. Now, I could stop if you like, or not. I don't know what you want to do. I can stop right here, or I can move on. Whatever you want to do. What would you like to do? I can continue until somebody comes through. Let's say 10 minutes. Are you? And then we'll stop then. Okay. What is the righteousness of the Almighty God? What does He require? Okay, we have this breastplate of righteousness. Be prepared. Romans 3, and maybe we should take a break, but I'll just throw out a couple of ideas and then we'll stop there. One thing I'm going to discuss, we're going to take the shield of faith, and in this armor, the shield of faith is said to be above all. Okay, we have the breastplate of righteousness, we have the loins shod with preparation of truth, we have the helmet of salvation, we have this in preparation. I'm not saying this, the Lord is. I didn't make this up. The Lord did. The Lord did.
Amen.
Above all, He says, taking the shield of faith. Alright? The shield of faith. And we're gonna look into why this is. What's so big about the shield of faith? Yeah, what is so important above all the rest as far as the shield of faith is concerned? Romans 3, 10 through 26. We're going to look at the right hand a little bit. We're going to look later after lunch. We're going to look at the peace. We're going to look at the right hand a little bit. We're going to look at the shield of faith. We're going to look at the sword of the Spirit a little bit. And so let's look at Romans 3, 10 through 26. Then I'll stop. We can take a break. And let me just say this to you, that this is a military armor. It is not, I wrote this down, taking the shield of faith. It is not taking the rose petal, I wrote this down, of faith. I mean, seriously. It's not, oh yeah, oh no, the Lord wants us to be. It's not taking like a wet noodle of the Spirit. No, it's taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. This is the meaning of these scriptures.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
I'm not saying this. The Lord is. Serious business. Battle. Serious. It's a spiritual armor, but it's serious. The attacks are serious. Attacks are devastating. They can ruin your life, lead you down paths. I don't know what it is for you. All I know is what the experience is for me. The truth that you've been given is fantastic. There's no words to describe it. Fantastic. In the history of mankind, I don't care if I'm this little Polish guy telling you, I don't care who you are. This is the access of what you have access to. You have access to truth that's phenomenal in the history of man. Yeah. That's what you're handling. Okay? Take it however you want. That's your privilege. That's your privilege. Romans 3, 10 through 26. And then I'll stop gabbing, get some duct tape out like Chico's wife wanted to put that tape over my mouth. Great people, man. I love you. We're all different. Oh, yeah. That Mike, he's really different, right? We're all different, but we're all beautiful in our own ways. And it's just It's just, I trust all of you, really, in the Lord. You know,
yeah.
I can't say that a lot about people out there. Romans 3, 10 through 26. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it's to them who are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus,
Amen.
By the way.
Amen.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him and her which believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And I'll take it up from there, okay?